This is The Spot, a BYU-Idaho radio production where we talk about what you're talking about at BYU-Idaho. Today's hosts are Logan Miller, Marie Smurthwaite, and Cameron Clark. The views and opinions of this podcast are not that of BYU-Idaho radio or the university and are solely the opinions of the hosts. Please note, this episode does talk about sensitive topics, including suicide. If you or someone you know needs help, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Hotline at 1-800-273-8255.
So welcome to another episode of The Spot, everybody. Today we are talking about mental health. It is a thing that a couple of years ago was not a huge topic of conversation, but nowadays people are spending a little more time and effort trying to understand how our brains work and why sometimes our brains don't work.
How are you guys feeling today?
You know, I'm glad you asked. I have a headache. I'm actually not feeling super great, but it's important to talk about how you feel, even if you're not feeling great.
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
Logan, how are you feeling?
How much do I want to divulge here? I'm doing pretty average. I feel like these last few semesters have been really, really difficult. And I'm starting to think COVID has nothing to do with it. And I think it's just been a really hard few semesters. And I don't know if it's like being a senior or being like just in a harder position when it comes to doing the things that I have to do as a senior, or if it's just a complete, it's probably just this. It's probably just, I'm just so unbelievably worn out of being here that it's getting to me.
Yeah.
So, but these last couple semesters have been really hard. This semester has been weird. Hard. It's been like difficult, but it's been weird because I've learned so much this semester, but there's just been so much going on where do you guys listen to AJR at all? This sounds really weird.
Yeah.
They made a really good song called Karma. And at the very end of the song, he does this entire breakdown where he just constantly sings and sings and sings about just the world works in mysterious ways, but I'm starting to think it isn't working for me. It's like one of the lines that he uses.
Ooh.
And you're like, whoa, man, dude, take a chill pill.
Lyrical genius.
That's unbelievably poetic and so depressing. Stop. No. But
didn't AJR also come out with a song that says, I'm not happy yet?
Way less sad.
Way less sad.
That's my favorite. Yeah. Don't you love it? Don't you love it? No, I ain't happy yet, but I'm way less sad. That's my favorite song from them, actually.
It's pretty good.
But yeah, that's been my entire existence these last few years. No, not years. No, stop. It's not.
Semesters.
It hasn't been like semesters. It hasn't been that bad yet. Hold on.
They are long periods of time, but they're not years. They're semesters.
I'm going to take up a little bit of this. Summer. So usually I work at scout camp. It's a good job for me to get. I love the people that work there. It gets me money. It's not a lot, but it gets me something. But this summer I was like, absolutely not. I'm going to just take a break. And I just did literally nothing all summer except for go on a trip to California, which I think I've said in a recent podcast episode, which was nice. But I came back and was like, all right, like I'm feeling good. It feels great. You know, I'm kind of ready to come back to college and get back on track. Mm-hmm. And it got worse. It got worse. So I'm just starting to wonder if it's like I just hate being here or if there's something else that's happening. But yeah. I was like, okay, I needed that break. And then I come back and I was like, clearly either that wasn't enough of a break or I'm just in a perpetual state of just anxiety of just being here, which is kind of sad. Although I've noticed with talking, because I'm doing a story for the station right now about stress, and I've noticed in the people that I've been talking to that I think it's just seniors from what I've seen so far. So that kind of leads me to wanting to ask you guys if, I mean, not prying too much, because I really don't want this to be episode.
Pry.
But, like, Cameron, how are you doing? Like, just, because I know you're a freshman.
I am a freshman.
So you are here.
Fresh.
Fresh. I don't know. But yeah, it's a different dynamic for you in theory.
Well, yeah, it is.
How have you been doing?
I've actually been doing really well. And again, it could just be because I'm a freshman and I'm excited about life and giddy about school. But, well, actually, no, I'm not really giddy about school, but we're here. So, but no, I mean.
No one's ever giddy about school.
And it could truly just be that freshman mindset of I'm out of my parents' house and I'm living with friends and people that, like, you know, I can choose to live with kind of thing. Well, sort of. And, you know, like, I don't know. I'm not stressed about school. But then again, next semester is my off track. So I'm not really, like, stressed about what's next because I have my off track. And then after that, I have a mission. And then after that, I don't know. So I'm not really stressed about, oh my gosh, my education is like in front of me and I just get to sit here for the next 4 years and just study my butt off. It's, I don't know. I'm not stressed about school, not really stressed about life. I'm just kind of here. I'm happy.
But you're not bored.
I'm also not bored, yes. I have a lot of things to be doing.
Nice.
So, yeah, as long as I'm filling my time, I feel like genuinely I'm, or generally, I'm doing, yeah, I do good. If I do get bored, that's when I get in my head, but I have enough to do.
You gotta stay busy.
Yeah, but I have enough to do here that hasn't happened yet, so.
Hey, Cameron, what you just described, I think, is just a perfect example of having a good balance between mental exhaustion and mental stimulation.
Yeah.
So your mind cannot just sit there and do nothing. It will get bored,
mm-hmm.
and you will want to do something eventually. But you also can't overwork it because then your mind will be exhausted and still not want to do anything.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. Have either of you heard of the Yerkes-Dodson curd?
I believe, well, I mean, you've mentioned it to me, but I'm not sure that counts.
I said curd, didn't I? I meant curve. It's a curve, not a curd.
Yerkes, I like cheese curds.
Yeah, cheese curds are good. But it's the Yerkes-Dodson curve. So
Yerkes-Dodson.
It's a curve that describes the perfect amount of stress you need to live life. Believe it or not, you need stress. It's important, and it can be good. So, yeah, Google it.
I am going to Google it.
Yeah, Yerkes? And so if you imagine with me, there's a graph, okay? And there's a curve that looks like a rainbow. At the top of the rainbow, that's the perfect amount of stress because you need that much stress to have that much productivity, right? Over on the left side of the curve is when your stress is lower, but it also means your productivity is lower because you don't feel like as urgent about things.
Yeah, there's not stress to get you mm-hmm. going with it.
But then on the right side of the curve, it's also low because your productivity is low because you are too stressed to do anything.
Mm.
And so just having a stress-free life would actually suck because you would be all the way on the left side of the curve.
Yeah.
Zero stress, zero motivation to do anything.
Yeah, your performance would not be as good.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. I was gonna say, because yesterday, I feel like coming back from breaks is hardest for me, even though my school, like my workload isn't that great, but it's enough, again, to keep me busy.
Mm-hmm.
But coming back from breaks, it just feels like there's like everything sitting on you and you're like, I have so much to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that was me yesterday. I had too much stress to even do anything. So I had to like slowly like build up my motivation just brick by brick yesterday to try and even get two assignments done.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's a weird domino effect.
Yeah.
I feel like if you are one of those people that has a hard time coming back from breaks, you need breaks.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take a break and then come back, you go, oh, wait, and then it kind of starts to get a little bit weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, my buddy's like that, where he wants to constantly be doing things. But
mm-hmm.
if he takes a break, then he gets really stressed about it because he's like, I need to be constantly doing something.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, this is going to pile up kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which I get what he's saying. Like, I've felt like that in times past, but it starts to get a little bit too much,
mm-hmm.
and it's a weird it's a weird balance you have to kind of strike.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of weird.
Maybe I just need to learn how to take more breaks to like
even more breaks.
Well, not like like enough breaks to like not do work at all, but like learn to relax kind of thing. Because
mm-hmm.
that is something I've never been able to do.
Relax?
Nope.
Maybe the way that you relax doesn't look like relaxing to other people.
That's true.
Like, are you into sports?
Yes.
So sports, to me, worst thing ever. Hate sports. Hate doing them. They're stressful.
Yeah.
But for you, this is like, oh.
That's fair.
This is my court. This is my you know, basketball, I'm going to score a touchdown in the goal. Boom.
Basketball, touchdown, amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And so, you know, I'm going to just throw this out there. Logan, you mentioned, like, oh, the seniors, they're experiencing stress. You must not be feeling as much stress because you're a freshman. But I would say that any age of student can feel stress.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember when I was a freshman, I actually felt a lot of stress about fitting in and about being an adult. I was like, okay, now that I'm here and not living with my parents, I was 18 at the time, I have all these expectations of adulthood that I need to be, number one, outgoing. When I was in high school, I never, ever left my room.
Really?
Well, I mean, I went to seminary, and then I went to school, and then I went to work, and then I got home at about 10 p.m., and I didn't leave my room until seminary the next morning. So, I mean, I was out of the house all day, but the point being, didn't have any friends. So when I got here, I was like, okay, every opportunity, every person that looks at me, they're going to be my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very stressful. And I acted really weird, and I kind of regret it, but I kind of don't because it was amazing.
If you made friends, you completed your goal.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's kind of what I did coming into to BYUI. I was like, through high school, I was like this too, so it wasn't like a change for me or anything, but like, just anyone that looks at you, like, I mean, this kind of goes off of, I mean, you could tie this into mental health, but everyone just wants to be friends with everyone, and I'm slowly learning that. Like, no one actually, at least from what I've experienced, and I know there are people out there that do genuinely just don't want to talk to people, but most people are just looking for a friend. Yeah. And literally, if you make eye contact with anyone, I can guarantee you that you could go like this and they'll do it back to you.
Mm-hmm.
Or something.
The amount of times that random people have waved to me on the sidewalk.
Exactly.
Like, actually, not like one of those moments where like they're walking past and they like wave in your general direction and you wave back only to realize that they're waving at someone behind you and then you go, because they're not actually waving at you. It's too much.
That was the best noise I've ever heard. What
the
heck?
That was good.
It's just the letter A.
No, but like, it makes you feel good too. Boom, mental health. Wave at people on the street and don't make it look like a mistake.
I'm realizing the more and more I talk to people, not just you guys, but to everybody else that I've met, that I am just so unbelievably opposite from all of you.
Really?
I am one of those people that would rather completely like seclude myself.
That's
as opposed to make so many different friends.
I guess now I can say that I've
you finally met someone.
No, I know other people.
And I don't mean to be like super depressed and antisocial, but like it's I don't know. It's just I showed up here. And Marie, I had a very similar life to you when it comes to not having friends because I grew up homeschooled. When I entered elementary school, I never went to school.
Mm.
I was homeschooled my entire life until my senior year of high school where I went to a community college. So no one there actually cared.
True.
Because it wasn't here. You know, no one cared about other people not here. No.
But
It was the only socialization that I had outside of church was scout camp and scouts. Mm-hmm. Scouts for me personally was my ward. It was just church again. So like, it was just the same people. And I moved when I was 12 and I moved to a ward there where there was no one my age. But there was a point where I started to work at scout camp and met all these people who are now, I still have great friends that live in Oregon that I used to go to scout camp with, but all of them are just complete whack jobs. So I feel like when I came here, I was like, I am too used to whack jobs. There's not a lot of like socialism. Like I met some great people here and they're all great friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't mean to say that I try to seclude myself and not talk to friends, but like, it's just a weird thing where I start to talk to someone and I go, man, I am so different to you. I'm not sure this is going to be okay.
That's fair.
And I start to worry about that. I'm like, hold on, wait a minute. This is probably going to be too weird of a situation. There's too much going on. So
that's
I just
really
kind of,
interesting.
I back up. Mm-hmm. So like the last couple of semesters, I haven't gone to FHE. This is the first semester where I've been like, no, Logan, stop. Meet people. Like, like do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I met my FHE group and they're pretty solid, but it's the exact same situation where all of them are just a completely different realm of existence to me.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, okay, wait, hold on. Like, it's just like a lateral, just like a different shift kind of kind of a thing. It's just kind of weird.
People like you are the reason that I exist, though. Like, in my mind. I love trying to break people who are like you out of their shell. Like, if I see someone that's like, oh, no, I'd rather be secluded, I'm like, no, you wouldn't. Come here, you're going to be friends with me. Like, they probably
see, and that's the funny thing, too. I do feel like I have a shell to break out of. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't feel like I'm just this extroverted kind of guy.
Yeah.
But over the last few years, I've learned to be really good at being open to new people.
That's good.
So, like, when I met you guys the first time, did you get that at all?
No.
From
no.
me? Exactly. No. See, yeah, I'm so good at it.
I was going to say, no. you were... That's why I'm
open,
like, surprised
suave,
that you're saying
that. Charming, handsome.
Just keep going. Oh, man.
I got to take a
add
show.
To it, but my brain isn't working.
He's one of the coolest guys I've ever met.
It's just a weird vibe where mentally I don't think I'm where I am physically.
Okay.
You know? It's just it's a weird step up where my brain's like, Logan, you are an antisocial guy. You would rather be at home playing your Xbox and not doing anything else. And I'm like, brain, listen, that's a good day for when I'm depressed. But most of the time, I'm not really like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just need to talk to people.
That's good.
And then I kind of get to a point where I talk to people, and it's nice, but yeah. It's kind of weird still. So, yeah.
And there definitely is like a fine balance. More balancing. That's, I feel like, a trend among mental health is just balance. But like, balancing in between when you need a break from people and like when you think you need a break from people, but really like talking to people is what's gonna like get you to bounce back, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different for everyone, because like for me, I could talk to people all day long, every day, always 24/7, and maybe need a 5-minute break and then go right back and keep talking to people. But some people, they need 5 hours alone, and then they can talk to people for 5 minutes and then go back to those 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, everyone's balance is different with that.
Everyone's different. It's
weird. Talking to
everybody. Wait.
Talking to other people is a great way to like relieve some symptoms of stress. Also talking to yourself, like Logan was just explaining.
I do
having a conversation. And that, kids, is called intrapersonal communication.
Absolutely.
I wanted to share with you a quote. So there was a talk given at the most recent general conference called Addressing Mental Health by Elder Eric W. Kapishke. And one of the things he said in that talk was that we need to constantly watch over each other. And he was tying it into ministering. And I know ministering, it's like, oh, cringe, ministering. We're not old people, whatever. But honestly, it's so good to just have somebody check on you,
mm-hmm.
or to check on somebody else. Because legit, our neighbors, you know, where I live, we're having the hardest time with, you know, just with each other, with the roommates.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea until I talked to one of them.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, we've been having such a hard time with the roommates. And I'm like, you what? I didn't know.
Yeah.
You really need someone to walk up to you sometimes and go, how are you?
Mm-hmm. Like, but truly mean
like,
it.
Yeah,
like, oh, hey,
actually just be like, listen, like,
yeah.
I want to know.
How's it going?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like something's going on.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be genuine, because there's a difference between walking past someone and go, hey, how you doing? And sitting down, looking at someone and being like, how are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it hits different.
Weird sometimes walking up to someone and being like, how's it going? And they're like, oh, it's going pretty good. And I'm like, no. How's it going?
Mm-hmm.
And then they go, and then like actually like start to go, whoa, hold on, wait a minute. And then have like that moment of, wait, someone actually cares? No.
You want to know a great thing that I have been doing like recently? Is I'll ask my friends the typical, hey, how are you doing? And then they'll tell me, they'll be like, oh, yeah, I'm doing good. Like, school's going good. And then I'll sit and I'll just go, how are you actually doing? And they go, do you want the truth? And then they'll actually tell you. Like, it's so weird. If you just ask them that question again, it shows that, like, you really care. You really want to know how they're actually doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it does. The answer does change every time. They don't ever keep the same answer.
It's so weird seeing people realize that they are allowed to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not a moment of like, is it okay to be vulnerable here? No, it's like they're looking for permission almost.
Yeah.
Like, you
mm-hmm.
have to sit someone down and go, like, how are you actually doing?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny being like, hey man, how's it going? And they'll be like, oh, it's going pretty good. How about you? And I'm like, that's it's just, you know, it's whatever. How are you actually doing though? And then they'll go, I'm doing horrible. Mm-hmm. Like actually, like these last few days have been really bad and kind of a thing. And like actually like tell you. And yeah, you're like, why great. Don't you people tell us that?
It's so weird because as a society, we've just grown to just say good. Anyways, mm-hmm. Sorry, Marie, please.
That's another quote from Elder Kapishke. He says, many people will mourn with us. They won't judge us. The scripture says mourn with those that mourn, not judge those that mourn and pat them on the head. And I think that... They're there.
Yeah. If someone actually cares enough to ask you how you're doing, they'll mourn with you.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you a true story. So I was sitting in ward council the other week, and I was just having a bad day. Don't remember why. And one of the fellows, because, you know, in a YSA ward, I'm the only gal at the ward council because there's no primary or young women's. And so I'm wearing a mask, so you can't see... You know, the tears streaming down my face, literally. Oh. And so this fellow leans over and he's like, hey, are you okay? And I was like, and I start crying. And he's like, oh my gosh, this is why I don't ask girls why they're okay. But, so after ward council, he catches up with me in the parking lot. And he's like, hey, you seemed like sad. Are you okay? And I'm like, it's just been so long since somebody's asked me if I'm okay. Oh, and then he sat there in, you know, stood there in the cold for like half an hour and just talked to me. And he's like, yeah, you know.
That's awesome.
Bless his soul.
More people like him.
Yeah, he's a solid one.
Yeah. Just asking people how they're doing can, and genuinely asking people how they're doing, mm-hmm. it can change a lot.
Now more than ever, this is a really important thing. I feel like it's been, I'm going to address the elephant in the room here. I feel like because of COVID, it's been really hard because a lot of people have felt isolated now for the last year and a half, that it's been kind of weird trying to deal with that. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a good transition here. I interviewed Reed Stoddard, who is the Counseling Center Director here on campus. And I talked with him about a bunch of stuff about what we've been seeing this semester. And I asked him what the problems that he's been seeing this semester have been. And he told me about a shift in how usually depression and anxiety are the two major problems that people come in with. Recently, anxiety has been over depression as opposed to like the last 10 or so years. Mm-hmm. And anxiety is really taking the forefront here. And I asked him about that. He's like, it's pretty much COVID. Like, honestly, like, I mean, it sucks to kind of loop it into one problem, but if I were to point to anything, it would be just a pandemic where no one knows how to deal with it. Yeah. So now things have to change to save lives, and now all of a sudden people are going, oh, wait, what happened to my friends?
Yeah.
Where did they go?
Definitely.
And so it's a weird concept to think about where you kind of – go, all right, do I, like, because now that we're out of it, kind of, at least here, we're out of it, we've pushed to getting out of things, and now people are meeting a lot more frequently, and now, this is why I said earlier that I feel like seniors are having it harder than freshmen, from what I've seen. Freshmen are coming into the semester excited, ready to meet new people, and they can do that, whereas sophomores, juniors, showed up in the middle of the pandemic. They're having a weird time.
This is true, yeah.
Seniors had to start with that, lose it, and now they're getting back into it and going, oh, what? Hold on. And it's just like a weird shift.
True, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to like take up too much time.
No, you're good.
The people that I've been interviewing, it's been weird. I've talked to about two or three freshmen, and all of them I've been like, so how are you doing? What's going on? If anything's going on, like tell me about it. Like like what's going on? And they're like, actually things are going pretty good. Like if they talk about stress, they're like, I mean, I'm stressing about classes. Mm-hmm. I'm stressing about like fitting in. And I'm like, okay, so like
normal.
That sounds normal, like normal stuff. Mm. And then I talk to people like my roommate, and he's just dying. Like he's like, dude, I cannot focus on my schoolwork. I can't figure out a good balance between social life and school life. I can't do this. And this is a guy that I met at the start of the pandemic, if not right before it, like a semester before it, and he's doing great. he's doing fine. Like, he's got such a good schedule going, and just things are going on. And now it's like, dude, I'm having a hard time finding jobs for work. I can't get money. School's kicking my butt. There's just, like, way too much going on. And I'm sitting there going, dude, like, a semester and a half ago, you were doing great.
Yeah.
And it's just weird to see. And it sucks, you know?
And add that onto the seasonal depression.
Which yeah.
Seasonal depression is a real thing because days are shorter and it's colder. People want to stay inside more, and staying inside more makes you tired, and being tired makes you depressed.
The last couple of semesters, I've really experienced that personally. Like, before that, seasonal depression, I'm like, I mean, yeah, I can understand why that's a case. But I'm like, how could you be? It's the holidays, yada, yada, yada. And then,
it's
and then
a jolly time.
Yeah, and then the last couple of semesters, I'm like, whoa. It's like that moment where you're like, wait a minute. I understand everything now. Mm-hmm. I understand all of you. This sucks. It's just, it's weird.
I don't get, like, I don't think that I... If I get seasonal depression, it's literally just because I hate the cold so much and it genuinely, like, stresses me out. Like, I feel like I just want to, like, crawl out of my skin. I don't know. I just don't like the cold. It just genuinely stresses me out. But other than that, like, I don't know.
I love the cold. But just because you get cozy and you get to drink warm drinks. But if I could share...
Get to drink warm drinks, sorry.
In the summer, you can't.
if I may, when... Something that kind of surprised me about my own mental state was when I arrived home from my mission. I cried more than I thought I would. I was bracing myself because people had told me, you are going to experience mental strain and you might crack under pressure. And I was like, oh, bring it on. I can do this. But one time I was like, I'm feeling a bit sad. I know. I'll go talk to my mom. So I was like, mother. She's like, yes. And I was like... And she was like, daughter? And I was like,
daughter?
Give me a second. It took me like a full 10 minutes to calm down enough to tell her I was feeling sad. And I don't know why, but if you are a missionary and have recently returned, don't be scared if you cry. Don't think that your testimony is falling apart because you're feeling sad or stressed or looking around for a companion that isn't there yet. You know, like, it's okay to feel sad and stressed. It's just not okay to stay that way and pretend there's no solution.
Mm-hmm. It's weird.
Which reminds me of a scripture I want to share with you, if that's okay.
Yeah, go for
Do it.
It.
Always.
So, there is a scripture in Doctrine and Covenants 121, verse 7, that says, my son, peace be unto thy soul. Thine adversity and thine afflictions shall be but a small moment. You guys know the context?
Yes.
Logan.
The amount of times I've heard that scripture is weird. I remember it being used in a talk in my home ward from a family that I think lost someone to cancer. Mm-hmm. And it was, not to get really, really like sad all of a sudden, but that was something that I've since then has stuck with me. And it's kind of a weird and really, really heartwarming scripture. Because you're sitting there going, could this get any worse? Obviously they can, but we're not going to talk about that. Karma. No, but it's like that moment where you're sitting there and you're thinking, man, this, like, I cannot believe I've been going through so much, yada, yada, yada. It just becomes a thing that you talk about. And then you're like, it'll pass. Mm-hmm. It's gonna go at some point. And you're like, okay, cool. Good talk, Jesus. Thank you. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Like, actually, though, like awesome.
Yes.
I think that's been, like, I've been very blessed with my mental health. I feel like, yeah, I don't really know how else to say that, but I feel like that's always been my mentality, and I think it just stems from, like, my dad, probably. I talk about him way too much.
That's
but
weird.
He,
keep going.
Yeah, but, like, to me, I know that things are going to pass. I know that moments are going to pass. I know that stress and anxiety. And if I'm stressed about school, well, guess what? School is not eternal. This one assignment that is worth 50 points is not eternal. Even if I don't do it, that grade is not eternal. Like, having an eternal perspective and just knowing that things are going to pass and that things are going to be okay has always been my mindset. And so even if I am in a time of anxiety, it's never, I'm anxious, I'm going to be anxious, it's going to get even more anxious. I'm anxious. It's okay. I can get more anxious, but that is not eternal. That is not something that's going to hurt me forever. Like, you know, I've never been like, I'm doomed, you know? So
if I could just add on to that,
do it.
If you're going to talk about your feelings, which you should mm-hmm. always talk about it. It's always better to talk about it than to not talk about it. Don't go and talk about it with other people who are struggling with the same thing. Because what are they going to say? Oh, buddy.
I agree.
I agree, and there's no way out.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you a true story.
I agree, and there's no way out.
We can go down together.
I'll tell you a true story. Yeah, you just drag each other down.
That's true.
So, on my mission, there are these two sisters who both had greenies. If you don't know what that is, it's a new missionary they were training. Both of the greenies had clinical depression mm-hmm. that they needed medication for. And both of the greenies, every P-Day, would sit together for hours and talk about depression.
Really?
Yes.
That's so weird to me.
And it's not a bad thing to talk about your feelings, but the way they talked about it was like, oh, and I just feel this and I feel that, and the work doesn't help, and I just feel useless. And they talked about it so much that guess what? They both went home early
mm-hmm.
because of depression.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if you just talk about it with your companion. Anyway.
Can I ask you guys a question, kind of mm-hmm. going along with that? Do you think, and I'm trying to think of a way to phrase this, do you think that society...
Yes.
Okay. almost, not fantasizes.
Romanticizes?
Yeah, like, not talks about depression too much. That's not what I'm trying to say. Do you think that some people just talk about depression to be relatable, or like it's like a trend?
I definitely think
I don't know how else to say that.
It is.
Do you think that depression is a trend?
I definitely think it can be overdiagnosed.
Okay.
And so I think that oftentimes mental health can be misunderstood because people overdiagnose. They're like, oh, she's such a neat freak. She has OCD.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what OCD is.
Right. They do that for a lot of things too.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Gosh, she's so, you know, she's wrong and you're right. She's black and she's white. She's up and you're down, in and you're out.
Hot and you're
she
cold.
She must be bipolar.
Katy Perry. Oh, sorry. Sorry.
And bipolar disorder is not that at all. In fact, my biological mother has bipolar disorder. And until she got medication, it was really hard. Because instead of, you know, changing your mind all the time, mm-hmm. it's more about, like, feeling extreme mania, which is, like, happiness and thinking you can do anything. And I'm going to move to Japan and work at Disney.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Not that you can't do that. But and then like
please do.
Weeks and weeks of super depressive, like suicidal episodes. And that's what it was like for her.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't just say, oh, yeah, this person, they're so sleepy and they don't like talking to people. They must be depressed. No. Sorry if that was loud. That's not what it's like. Anyway, yeah. Logan.
To answer your question, Cameron, yes. But I'm not going to say it in a way that shows that society is doing its best to try and I'm going to say romanticize mm-hmm. depression
mm-hmm.
and talk about it in a way to relate to people. But we live in a day and age where we are more and more in contact with random people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The internet has been a blessing and a genuine blessing and a serious curse.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. there's a weird, like, just stigma about who you end up following, how it bases, like, the rest of your mindset on yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I've seen a lot of people, obviously, who will let things that they see on the internet dictate how they should be feeling.
Mm-hmm.
That is unbelievably incorrect. Don't do that. I've also been seeing people on the internet who will talk about, and this kind of comes from, like, a meme kind of standpoint, but they'll talk about, like, oh, man, life sucks. I hate this. And everybody just goes, feel you, man.
Yeah.
I feel you.
I agree.
And that, like, I absolutely.
Yeah.
And then, it's the exact same domino effect with the greenies.
Exactly.
But it's on an internet scale.
Exactly.
And it's weird to see so many people just be like, yeah, man, I'm depressed too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. And then everybody's just being like, hold on, take a chill pill. Wait a minute. Hold on.
I don't think we're all depressed.
Yeah,
I
think you're just sad right now.
You're like, just jumping yeah. on the bandwagon.
Like, and again, not to like bring down people that actually do have problems,
right?
And may or may not say that on the internet, But there needs to be a point where there's, you need to figure out for yourself, is this actually a feeling that I'm having, mm-hmm. or is, am I just running with the wave of who I'm seeing?
Is this actually a problem, or right. is it just me?
So, and again, not to diminish actual depression, that's it. It's a genuinely serious thing, and mm-hmm. if you know you have it, you know the steps to work towards fixing it, or I shouldn't say fixing it, because I mean, really, is that something you can fix?
You can work on it.
Yeah. And you always want to be, but it's that weird kind of balance where you have to go, okay, I know this is something I have to work with and I have to work against. And it's like this strange kind of just back and forth of like, okay, I'm going to be better today. And then things happen. You have to fight it. You know, like it's different. Like, obviously, I feel like you can be depressed and not have depression, mm-hmm. right?
That's life.
But there's going to be points where things are going to happen and you're going to feel really, really down. And I would say, yeah, you're feeling depressed. But there's a difference between being depressed and depression.
Yeah.
And I think there's a important note to make of that. I feel like a lot of people on the internet are depressed. That's okay. Not all of you have depression.
Exactly.
Just step back, maybe, you know, mm-hmm. take a little bit of a difference. And I want to transition to like how you guys deal with like sad feelings, sad mm-hmm. thoughts. And I'm going to say video games because it's always been a escape for me. Because when I was younger and obviously I was homeschooled and didn't have anybody to talk to, I was like, man, this kind of sucks. And then my mom was like, here's a GameCube. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's Super Mario Sunshine. And I just had like a grand old time playing games. And it's just ever since then, it's been something that I get to talk to other people about, other people who have the same kind of interest. It's another thing for me to be able to be like, I've had a really hard day. I'm just going to play some like Minecraft or just like something relaxing and just ease into the end of the day mode. And it's just kind of this moment where I get to be like, okay, I'm gonna kind of get out of it. Obviously, I'm not gonna let it dictate anything, but mm-hmm. it's just this nice thing to go to. But I don't know, I feel like that's something that ends up, I always end up thinking about when it comes to dealing with feelings that may or may not be sucky for me. Mm-hmm. But that's besides the point. What about you guys?
So I've kind of been on a cleanse for the last week or so. I've been doing no YouTube, no Pinterest, because it was starting to take over my life. And I've been sleeping better. I've been connecting with my roommates better. And I don't know, man. I think that we should just all stop watching movies, stop reading books, stop consuming anything. I don't know. I mean, that's a little extreme. But, like, just stop spending so much time reading records of other people when you could be writing your own records, you know? Mm-hmm. Writing your own story.
Yeah. Along that line, I feel like something that would be good if you're having a hard time sleeping is to just not do anything for like the first half hour or like the last half hour before you go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed my buddy's been doing that recently, and he's been doing a lot better when it comes to getting to the point where you can fall asleep and have a decent night of sleep.
Yeah.
So if you're going like, haha, YouTube funny, and then immediately going to bed, your brain's like, what?
That's
Wait
true.
A minute.
It's dark. Somebody turned out the lights.
Excuse me? Yeah.
How do I handle
the sad thoughts?
The sad thoughts.
Or the stress.
Or the stress, yeah.
Stress for you, actually, personally, yeah.
So, let's see if I can say this without going off on a tangent.
Go off.
Go off.
In high school, I will admit, I was like a quitter. If something got stressful, if something got hard, if something got too difficult, instead of trying to face up to the challenge and push through, I would quit.
You would quit? Yes.
Yes.
No. No.
So, for instance, like, for example, my lifelong goal as a kid, or like my lifelong dream, was to become an aerospace engineer at BYU. But then they got rid of the program and they moved it to like Utah Valley, whatever. Well, that happened. And instead of continuing to work for something like big, and I was very academically sound, like I had good grades and stuff. But something happened. Something stressful happened. They moved the program. My dreams kind of fell to the ground. And I quit. And I stopped trying. And I mean, I wasn't academic. I still ended high school with like a 3.5 GPA or something like that. But But I saw my mindset change about school. Instead of it being like, oh yeah, like this is how I'm going to get to my goals, it was just, this is something I have to get through. With sports, I played a ton of sports in high school. However, I would only play them for a couple of weeks or maybe a couple months, and then I'd drop them because it would get too hard, or someone wasn't being nice, or I wasn't the best on the team, so what was the point kind of thing, you know? But yeah, like I found myself quitting a lot. And when I came to college, well, actually over COVID, I kind of had this like mental reset of, why the heck are you a quitter? Like, why do I just quit stuff? And so coming into BYU-Idaho, something that I was really scared about coming into college in general was that I was going to be a quitter. And so I kind of made this mental pact with myself before I came, well, actually before I was supposed to go to a different college last semester, I sat down with myself and was just like, you are not going to quit. Like, I'm just not going to allow that in college. That's not going to swing. I'm not going to be that person that I was in high school. So, more recently, with stuff regarding stress, such as schoolwork, even though it may be hard or it may be stressful, or with my mind, even though I may be sad or whatever, I'm going to push through because I'm not going to be a quitter still. And so, you know, things will get hard and maybe I'm not doing the best or not being the best I could be, but that's not an excuse to quit or to give up. So I guess that's how I deal with it, is I literally just told myself, and I know not everyone can do this, so maybe don't take advice from me, but I just told myself, thank you, you're not going to give up. Like, you're fine. It's going to be fine. Kind of same mentality that I told you guys about earlier, that I've just always had that mentality of it's going to be okay. But I've taken that and put it to hard things now. And having that mindset of it's going to suck, but don't let yourself down. That was a lot of words, but I like that's kind of how I deal with it.
You know, talking about a reset, mental reset, mm-hmm. I wanted to share with you guys a breathing exercise that's to reset kind of your heart rate and everything, mm-hmm. and it helps with anxiety when your heart rate's accelerated because of stress.
Mm-hmm.
So, everybody do this with me.
Well, okay. We're gonna do this all together.
Inhale for 7 seconds. Hold it for 4 seconds. Exhale for 8 seconds. And you can repeat that as many times as you need to until your heartbeat gets back to normal.
I can feel it in my head. Like, it doesn't make me lightheaded. It just makes me, like...
You're oxygenating your blood.
That's probably it.
I do want to leave it off with a soundbite from the Reed Stoddard interview about where you guys can go find some info about where you guys can find some things to do for... or just find a way to talk with someone. We do have a counseling center here on campus, and there are ways of... getting the help that you guys need if you guys are having a hard time here.
Even if you're having an okay time.
Yeah, honestly.
It's better to catch it than to let it dwell and build up.
Yeah. So I'll play those sound bites.
So we have a website. You can go there and look at the process of getting into counseling. To get into counseling, there are a couple of our workshops. You don't have to be a client of the counseling center. The anxiety and stress workshops, they're done in the Mannorian Center this semester. You don't ever have to even contact us. You can just look on our website, see the time, and just go to those. For most everything else, you're going to want to formally apply for service, and that happens through filling out an assessment, which you can do through a portal on our website. And then they have what's called a consultation, an initial consultation. It's about a 25-minute meeting with a therapist who has access to all the stuff, the assessments that people have filled out. And the two of you, the therapist and the student, would discuss what's going on and make a plan together what might be helpful. So it might be a workshop or individual or medication sometimes is needed. We do refer a certain number of students to the community if they have insurance and have access to transportation, they can get to a clinic in town. So there's decent resources in town. But all that would be discussed in the consultation. and a plan would be made, and then the student kind of decides what they want to do, and they move forward at that point.
Well, thanks for stopping by, guys.
Talk to somebody.
It hasn't been, like, the funnest episode, but it's an important one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad we were able to talk about it, so.
Definitely.
Awesome. Have a good day, everybody.
You've been listening to The Spot, a production of BYU Idaho Radio. Today's hosts were Logan Miller, Maurice Murthwaite, and Cameron Clark. The views and opinions of this podcast are not that of BYU Idaho Radio or the university, and are solely the opinions of the hosts. If you or someone you know needs help, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Hotline at 1-800-273-8255. This episode was edited by Logan Miller. Producers were the hosts, with supervision by Brandon Isle. Our theme music is Finding Happiness by DJ Quads and The Perpetual Ticking of Time by Artificial Music. To listen to more episodes of The Spot, like and follow us on social media, or visit our website, byui.edu/radio, and click podcasts. Be sure to subscribe to the BYU Idaho Radio podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, or wherever you get podcasts. And also leave a review of the show and leave a comment on what we should talk about next.